did on that song today. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs, the 30th chapter, for just briefly. And then find Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse. And the children are being dismissed into children's church. I'm going to lose 2/3 of my congregation this morning. Shouldn't have allowed that to happen today. Proverbs 30. Praise the Lord. We're going to... she wants to stay out with Pastor, I can tell. Or not. Probably half a dozen of you adults wishing you could go with them, aren't you? Anyway, just want to entitle this today, Are You Tough Enough? Are you tough enough? And there's a saying that goes something like this. It's, I know you've heard it. It says, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And that's indeed a true statement to anyone who has had to hurdle past obstacles and climb over life's disappointments. Have you ever had any obstacles or disappointments in life? That was one of those questions you could talk back to me, or at least, we're interacting right now. We all have. All of us have had obstacles and disappointments in life and hurdles that we've had to climb over and things that's just really disappointed us. But the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 30 that there are four things that are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. And the first is the ant. And Solomon says in chapter 30, verse 25, I think it is, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. They're not strong, but they prepare their meat in the summer. They prepare ahead. Ants know that they don't have a long time to work before the chill of winter sets in. So they gather all the food that their colony, to feed their colony, while they have strength and opportunity. Ants do not wait for an invitation to your picnic. They show up unannounced and are happy to carry away anything within their reach. Have you ever been to try to have an outside? I don't like to eat outside, and there's one reason, because of the flies and the ants and the mosquitoes. I always like to eat inside, and the heat in the summer. I want to be in the wind, there's all kinds of reasons not to eat outside and to eat inside. You know, it's fun, but if you're outside, ants will try to carry things away. If you're not careful, they'll be biting you, trying to carry a piece of your flesh back to the colony with themselves. Amen? They'll do that. But they show up. They are relentless. They are persistent. Ants use every muscle they can carry, every muscle they can muster to carry their fair share of the load. And in the ants' world, you got to be tough to survive. And I think that's the way it is with the Christian today. Are you tough enough? You're going to have to be tough if you're going to survive. It's not easy living for Jesus. It's not easy having disappointments and temptations and disappointments as they come your way as a Christian, but you're going to have them. Fact is, somebody, you may have the idea that when you become a Christian, everybody's going to appreciate you. Did you have that? Did somebody sell you that bill of goods when you became before you were a Christian? If you become a Christian, everything's going to straighten out and your life's just going to be great and you'll never have another problem. Everybody will like you, and it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. Fact is, Jesus said, and let's look at Matthew 5, verse 10, he says this, and it ought to make it very clear to you today. He says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, if you're thin-skinned, you'll have a rough time because that makes you an easy target for the enemy. You can't be thin-skinned and live for Jesus. You're going to have to toughen up. How tough are you? Or are you tough enough this morning? We got to understand something. Endurance is the secret, not popularity. We got to learn to endure. The Bible, in fact, it says, they that endure till the end shall be saved. They that endure till the end. Not those who quit in the middle of the process. Not those who run when the things get tough, but the tough get going when the going gets tough. How tough are you today? Paul endured desertion by his friends. He endured ugly letters from the Corinthians. He had disappointment with the Galatians. He was mistreated in Philippi. He was mocked in Athens, and he was imprisoned and beheaded in Rome. But he endured, and he knew the secret to enduring and living a tough life for Jesus Christ. He did not waver one second in his living for God. What do you really have to complain about? Now, I really don't want you to answer me that right now. Just think about it. What do we really have to complain about? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, watch ye, stand fast, quit ye like men. He says, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. That's what he wrote in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. Be strong, watch, stand fast in the faith, stand up like a man, be strong, quit ye like men, be strong. It's time for us as Christians to learn that we have to be strong. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be talked about. Things are going to be said ugly about you. Whether you're being ugly or not, they're going to say ugly things about you because you're a Christian. We got to learn that we have to be tough. In that toughness, we have to learn to love. Not strike back. Not try to get even. But live out our lives in a way that we can be beneficial to the kingdom. Let's break down 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. There's four things there that I want to talk about for the next few moments, if I may. Number one is watch ye. Watch. In other words, be on alert. Always be on alert. Because you have an adversary who is out to get you. You absolutely have an adversary whose name is Satan, who is out to get you. Don't think for one second that you can sign a peace treaty or armistice, whatever you call it, a peace treaty with the devil. You can't. You may think you can sign a peace treaty, but he will break that treaty at any moment because he is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. He wants to destroy the deposit of God's will that's within you. He wants to take what God has placed in each of us for the good of mankind and for the good of the kingdom, and he wants to destroy it. He wants to take what God has deposited in you and take what God's put within you and destroy it. He wants to take that seed that God has given you that's capable of producing a harvest, and he wants to take that seed and destroy it before it can become fruitful. You need to understand, folks, we have to watch. We have to be on alert. The devil is going to do everything he can to destroy you. We must be continually on guard. You cannot for one moment let your guard down. I mean, man, preacher, you mean we got to just always, I mean, we're always under this stress. We always have to be on guard. Absolutely. It's not stressful. As we get through this, I think you'll see that you have the Lord on your side. You have his grace that's sufficient. I think you're going to understand you can make it. But you got to be on guard. Number one, Jesus is coming. He is coming soon. I wished I'd written these scriptures down, but I'll turn to them. Matthew 24, verse 42 says, but of the hour, let me get back to it. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We ought to be careful, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming at any moment. And the devil wants to destroy what's within you, the seed that God has placed within you, but he also wants to destroy your soul. He wants to prevent you from going to heaven. And Jesus is coming soon. I know we preach it. I know we talk about it. I know we expect it. I know he hasn't come yet. And some says it may be hundreds of years before he comes. I don't know when he's coming, but I know this. I must be continually on guard, expecting Jesus to split the clouds of glory and receive us unto himself. I must stay ready. And secondly, we must stay on guard that we would enter not into temptation. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's going to tempt you. He's going to try to do everything he can to get you to give up on God, or get you to entertain some illicit thought, or to get you to do something that he knows is contrary to the will of God in your life, or something that would destroy you or destroy your witness. And it says that we must pray that we enter not into temptation. Fact is, Matthew 26:41, Jesus said this: watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Who can attest to that today? You have a willing spirit, but this old flesh man oftentimes gets in the way. He's weak. He wants to indulge. He wants to look. He wants to participate in things that are contrary to the deposit that God has placed in you, into the seed that God has given you, so that you might do good works. The devil wants to destroy you. He also teaches us we must be continually on guard, ladies and gentlemen, that we may be worthy to escape all things. And Luke 21:36, it says this: watch ye therefore and pray. There again, watch and pray, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. How many want to stand before Jesus one of these days? Well, it says, watch and pray so that you can escape these things that's coming upon this earth. I want you to know something today, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus, when he comes, there's going to be a great cataclysmic event take place following that. It's called the tribulation. And some say we'll go up in the middle. Some says prior. Some says after. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure. I know what I believe and what I think. But I want to know this. Whatever it is, I need to stay ready. And it says if I'll stay ready and pray, I will be worthy to escape all those things that are coming upon this earth. And so we need to stay and be continually on guard. I don't want to be left here. And I know you don't either. We also must stay on guard because one of these days, and it's already happening, grievous wolves are going to come into the church. They're going to try to take over the church. And Acts 20:29, it reads like this. It says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. We must be careful, and we must watch and pray, and we must guard our hearts and be continually on guard that someone won't come in that would destroy us and destroy our church. We have to be on guard of that, that we make sure that whoever comes in preaches sound doctrine, that they are on fire for God, that they are really following the Word of God and preaching and teaching the Word of God. Many can come in and they can tell you things. If you're not careful, you will be deceived. So watch out. One of these days, my wife and I will be gone should the Lord tarry. And when you elect or bring in a new person, you need to make sure that they are truly men, a man or woman of God. We must watch in prayer. Be very careful. We continually on guard in prayer. And I've read that. Watch you therefore and pray. Watch you therefore and pray. Now Colossians 4:2, it says this about that. We must be in prayer. It says continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch and pray with thanksgiving. Very simply put, watch and pray with thanksgiving. You must be continually on guard, watching and praying with thanksgiving for what God has done for you. 1 Peter 4:7. Let me turn over to that. And it's also about praying. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be sober and watch unto prayer. So the apostles Peter and Paul and different ones say, watch and pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. Paul said, watch and pray. And Peter says, be sober. Keep a sober mind and watch and pray. Because the end's coming. We got to be ready. So we have to watch. We got to be on guard. The enemy of our soul would do everything he can to destroy you. That's his goal. Our goal is to make heaven. Our goal is to please the Master. Our goal is to do some good while we're on this earth, something that would benefit the kingdom. We're not just here. You have a seed in you, ladies and gentlemen. It's been deposited there by God for that you can do good for the kingdom. And I tell you this all the time. You don't have to be a preacher or a singer or a teacher. There's all kinds of ways to be good for the kingdom. We need people in the pews that come and support the church that go outside the four doors and are the church out in the world. Teaching people about Christ, living a life that's pleasing to God, a life that lets their people that let their light shine, that are the true salt of the earth. You got so many things you can do and not be in the forefront. I want to tell you something about that. There's many a time my wife and I both talk about this sometimes. We wish God had never called us to the forefront and just let us be good pew sitters. People who just worked for the church and did what we could from out there without having to be in the front. There's something to be said about that. To be a good worker in the church. Not expecting any glory. Not wanting any glory. Just wanting to please God. You're important too. You're very important. We can't have a church without you. But we must watch and be in prayer and be sober. In soberness. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. Let me go backwards here for a moment. There it is. What's it say? Put it up there. It's easier to look there than here. I can't find it. Ain't that a pretty waterfall? Did I have that one down, Caleb? Well, be sober. Move on. In all things. 2 Timothy. I have that one, didn't I? All right, 2 Timothy 4, 5. That's why I couldn't find it. I didn't have it marked either. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says this, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy was an evangelist, and Paul wrote to him, said, you make full proof of your ministry. Watch in everything. Be sober. Watch in everything. Endure the afflictions that's going to come your way. You may not be called to be an evangelist. You may not be called to be a preacher, an apostle, or a prophet, or anything in the fivefold ministry. But you are called to be a Christian, and you are to watch. You're going to have afflictions, and you are to make full proof of your ministry. Whatever that might be. Make full proof of it. And then number two, stand fast in faith. We've got to watch, and then we have to stand fast in faith. In other words, be firm. We need to sing that old song, I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And that's not moving in the pew. That's not, I'm not going to do nothing they ask me to do. That is this. I am firm in my faith. There's nothing can make me waver. There's nothing going to stop me. I'm not standing on my feelings. I'm not standing on circumstances. I'm not standing on the opinions of others. Those things will change, but I stand on the Word of God. I stand fast in my faith. Nothing that comes against me is going to change my mind about God. Doesn't matter how bad it is. Doesn't matter how sick I am. Doesn't matter how broke I become. It doesn't matter how much they talk about me. It doesn't matter what they take from me. I will be firm in my faith. I will take a stand for God. You can take my life. You can take my money. You can take my home. You can destroy everything that I've ever built up, but I will stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free, and I will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I stand firm. I've been born again. I've been bought with a price, and I don't change my mind. Amen. That's how you got to be, ladies and gentlemen. Stand fast in faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Stand fast in the Word of God. Not in man's opinion, although Paul said here, there's some traditions which you've been taught. There's some things about God you've been taught. Ladies and gentlemen, there's things you and I have been raised up and taught about God. We've watched our parents or our grandparents. We've watched other Christians live for God. And we know these traditional things that we do as we live for God. I'm not talking about haircuts, hairstyles, or dress codes. I'm talking about the basics of living for God. And I tell you, we need to stand fast and hold those traditions and not waver and follow what we've been taught. Got too many people just doing what they want to do. We got to keep rank. We don't need to be disorderly or retreat. We need to stand fast in faith. We don't retreat. We have to keep unity. We must let nothing divide us so that Satan can defeat us. Do you understand if Satan can divide us and cause disunity in the church, he will defeat what God wants to do. He will take that seed that God has deposited in you and in this church, and he will destroy it through disunity. But we refuse to allow him to do that. We're not going to waver in our faith. We're going to stand fast in faith. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, it's settled. If that's God's will, then it's God's, that's the way it's going to be. Amen? Amen. Then it says, quit ye like men. This scripture said, I have to remind myself what I said. You watch, you stand fast in the faith, and then you quit like men. In other words, you act like men. Oh, don't you wish we could get a church full of men today? Men that would be real men of God, that would really act like men. We got a pretty good balance here, but wouldn't you love to see more men take the lead in living for God and their families instead of the wives or whoever having to take the lead? More men. It says, act like men. Why? Because childish won't cut it when the battle, being childish won't cut it when the battle rages. And I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a battle. How many here have ever had a battle? Oh, come on. You all have had a battle. If you've ever served Christ any time at all, you've had some kind of a battle. Something's come your way that just almost knocked you down. Something that probably has driven you to your knees. Something that's caused you to just have to cry out, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand why it's so bad right now, but I trust you to bring me out on the other side. I'm going to learn from my mistake, and I'll keep going if I've made a mistake, but I'm going to act like a man. I'm not going to be childish in this thing. Ephesians 4:14 fact says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that we be no more children tossed to and fro. We need to be men and women, true men and women of God, who do not flinch in the fight, who maintain their ground at whatever it costs. If it costs you a limb, you stand your ground. If it costs you your eyesight, you stand the ground. If you have to pluck your eye out, you stand the ground. If you cut your arm off, you stand the ground. You're not going to flinch in your faith. You get the picture. Jesus said you got to be willing. He says, take up your cross. He's told that to you. If your eye offends, you pluck it off. If your arm offends you, you cut it off, your hand. You got to be willing, whatever it takes. If I'm maimed, if I'm bruised, if I'm half dead, they're going to drag me from the front line. I will not be moved because I'm a man of God. And whatever it takes to succeed for God, that's what I'll do. And if I die living for Him, then I die. And if I die, I'll just go see Him sooner. I will not be moved. You cannot convince me to give up any ground for Jesus Christ. Too many times, too many people, when the battle gets rough, the tough things come, they give up, they turn tail, and they run, they give it up, and they say, if I'd known it's going to be like this, I wouldn't even have started. Nobody told me it's going to be tough. I want to tell you, if you go to this church anytime, you're going to know it's going to get tough once in a while. Because that's the Word of God. But I also know this, that there's victory in Jesus. He'll bring you out on the other side if you'll stay fast, stay firm in your faith. He'll not let you down. He'll not leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll take you through. We got to be like men and women. Act like men. Stay the course. Stand your ground. Then it says, be strong. Be strong. Why don't you toughen up a little bit? Be strong. Because weakness is an invitation to the enemy. We can't afford to show him any weakness. You have to put up a facade, put it up when it comes to the enemy. If you got to act tough when you're not, just do it anyway. If you got to be like that little banty rooster I've talked to you about a time or two in the past, just be that little banty rooster. You know you can't whoop nobody, but you're going to act like it. You're going to ruffle up your feathers and you're going to get them fluffed out as big as you can. The enemy comes your way. You're going to say, hey, I ain't scared of nobody. And you may be trembling and you may be afraid, but you're toughening up. You're not going to show any weakness. You're not going to let him know, because, you know, weakness precedes surrender, and quitting's not an option. So you're just going to say, come on, devil, hit me with your best shot. I'm going to take it. I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And if he can't whip you, then I guess nobody can. But devil, I'm not turning tail. I'm going to be like a man. I'm standing fast in my faith. I'm watching. I'm going to be ready for you. You can't deceive me. You can't trick me. I'm not going to quit. It's not an option. You know what? God told the children of Israel that the land was theirs, didn't he? What did he do, though? He sent them in to fight for it. He didn't just give it to them. He said, now go take the land. And we've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and go take what is ours. We have let the devil convince us that we can't succeed. We've let him convince us that we're failures. We've let him convince us that we don't count. But I want to tell you something today. You are not failures. You do count, and you can succeed, and you can be victorious. Go take the land. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, what's that tell you? He says, be strong. We need to be strong. Then he goes on to tell you in Ephesians 3:16 that he's going to grant you, according to his riches and glory, that you will be strengthened by the Holy Ghost. That you'll be strengthened by his Holy Spirit. What? Yeah. You do your part. God does his part, and you can stand strong. You're not no longer. At first, you may have to put up a facade. At first, you may ruffle your feathers and be like the banty rooster. But in the end, you say, wait a minute. The word of God says that he's going to grant me, according to his riches, to be strengthened with his might, by his Spirit in my inner man. Wait a minute here. I don't have to put up a facade. I don't have to act tough. I am tough because I have God on my side. Come on, church. We are victorious people. We are overcomers because we have God in us. We need to keep ourselves fit. We need to learn how to conquer. We need to make up our minds. We're either going to die in the conquest or we're going to win it. But we're not going to quit. I'll die, it'll kill me, or I'm going to win. One of the two. But I will not quit. I won't stop living for God. I won't turn tail and run. Nothing can stop me from taking my place in the kingdom, short of death. And then look at the devil in the eye. I don't know whether he's over there this morning or over here, if he's just on some little throne somewhere and got some of his little imps here. Wherever they're at, they're up in the balcony today. They just look up there and say, hey, devil, you're losing. I'm not quitting. You can't stop me. I'm not going to sell God short, and I'm not going to give you any place. You might as well head on down. Head on back to the throne room of Satan and just tell him, I've kind of struck out today with those people, because they've made up their mind they're going to live for God. I'm not going to let him defeat me. You don't have to stand. I want to close with these few thoughts. You don't have to stand in your own strength. Paul said to watch, to be men. Let me get my notes back so I can say it right. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. But you don't have to do it in your own strength. Now, isn't that exciting? God gives you a command, and then he says, I got my Holy Spirit here, and you don't have to do it on your own. I'm going to enable you to do what I tell you to do. I'm going to enable you to be victorious. I'm going to enable you to be a conqueror, or more than a conqueror. I'm going to enable you. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10 says this, and he said to me, now this is Apostle Paul, after he went through a rendition of some things that was going on in his life, how he talked about the thorn in the flesh, and this is what God told him. This is what God told him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says now, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Then I'm strong. I take pleasure in all of this now, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I'm going through this and I feel weak, then God is in me. And God is building me up. And God is taking me through. When I'm weak, I'm strong. So I just take pleasure in all of it. Come on, devil, hit me with your best shot. For when I'm weak, I'm therefore made strong. When I'm weak, Christ comes in through the Holy Spirit. When I'm weak and don't think I can make it, the Holy Spirit lifts me up and empowers me. And I'm going to go through. And I'm going to be victorious. You see, Paul, God assured Paul that his grace would be provided so that he could suffer all things. And that same grace is provided to you today so that you can suffer through all things. It doesn't matter what you go through. God's grace is sufficient. It was provided, God's grace was provided to assure Paul that no matter the test, no matter the battle, nor the trial he was facing, that he should learn to totally depend on God. Listen to this. You must learn to totally depend on God. Quit trying to do this in your own strength. Stop trying to do it in the flesh and let God be God in you. Let God be the God that will take you through every test, every trial, every battle as you totally depend on Him. Lean on Him. Let Him take you through this trial. We try to do it in our own thinking. We'll lay awake at night and, what am I going to do? And, how am I going to overcome this? And, woe is me. Rest in the Lord. Let Him take you through this. Paul learned that when he was being attacked by Satan, that he could look for the grace promised by God. It didn't matter what Paul was coming against, he would look for the grace that was sufficient. He would look for God's grace. He would look for God's mercy. He would know that God was coming on the scene shortly. He would know that although he was being afflicted and this trial was great and the temptation to give up was there, that he knew that shortly God would be on the scene. That shortly everything would turn around. That he would have a turnaround moment in his thinking and everything would work out. He was persecuted. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. He was beaten. He was whipped. And finally he was beheaded. But everything worked together. And Paul could write that, for this we know, for all things work together for those that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And he wrote just after that, then I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Paul knew about sacrificial living, but he also knew that through his sacrificial living that God was going to provide for him all the power that he needed to be strong in the Lord. And that same thing's available to you today. So I can't do it, Pastor. Yes, you can. Not in your power, but in His power. Not by your grace, but by His grace. You can make it. His grace is sufficient. When you're attacked, you can look for the grace and power of God to come on the scene. It has been promised to us. When we trust God and rest in His promises of grace, when needed, we will walk strong in the power of God, and the power of Christ will rest upon us like a tent or tabernacle, giving us shelter and rest. I don't care what you go through. If you'll trust in God, God will overshadow you at the right time, at the most perfect time, when you need shelter, or when you need rest, or when you need a fortress. God will come on the scene, and you can crawl right under into the cleft of the rock, or you can crawl, if you want another analogy, you can go right just to that old mother hen and crawl right under her wings, and God will cover you with His wings and protect you and bring you through it, and you can rest in the power of God and the power of Christ and be victorious. You can do it. You do not have to stand in your own strength. You don't have to. We gotta be like men. We gotta watch, stand fast in the faith, stand like men, and be strong. And you don't have to do it by yourself. God's there for you. Would you stand with me? Just a question. Are you tough enough? Are you able to do it? Probably not in your own strength. But with the Lord's help, you're tough enough.